Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and we'll be taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Great.
Yeah, when I left, I was talking to people about, you know, when I returned from paradise, but actually I returned to paradise.
Yes.
Yeah.
It took about 3 or 4 days to go from winter to summer.
Telling you, you leave town for a minute, and they just change seasons on you, change times, change everything.
Yes.
Sitting out on my deck, looking out across the canyon, listening to the first morning doves of the year that I have heard.
Wow.
Just as good as it gets. I just told somebody that I'm sure if the weather were always like this, I would always be happy.
Great.
Yeah, I'm pretty convinced.
Uh-huh. And how was Mexico?
It was wonderful. Anybody who is looking for a marvelous place to go and have a retreat, you can go participate with other people, but you can also just go on your own. It's called Hara Mara, H-A-R-A-M-A-R-A, and it's about a half hour, 45 minutes north of Puerto Vallarta. Little town is called Sayulita, and it's a little surfer place for, you know, surfers out there know Sayulita. And it's truly marvelous.
Great.
So you can go there. Food is great. Do yoga and meditate, 360-degree view, three-quarters of it is the Pacific Ocean, and it's just
Wow. It's
as good as it gets.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yes.
Yeah. And have you been enjoying the change to summer?
I have been enjoying the change to summer, too, and I'm running a little cold, too.
Oh, no.
You
were doing that a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, and I suspect it has something to do with having a little one.
Yes, having small children around.
being in close contact with everyone else.
Yes, they just pass those germs around and love to share them with you and really don't have any idea of I shouldn't be breathing on you because I have a cold.
Yes.
Yeah, they just don't. They don't get that concept.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God they're so cute, huh?
Definitely. Definitely. Sherry, we have two callers.
All right. Let's see who it is.
I'd like to welcome Beth from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Listening to you talk just now, it's just kind of in my mind. It's like the thought of becoming a monk is just a life of deprivation.
Say that sentence again. You kind of blipped out on me.
It's kind of like, you know, it's like my ideas of the monastery being like this life of deprivation. And listening to you talk about coming back from Mexico kind of...
Oh, that is... Okay, so one of my big... This should set off a good discussion. You know, one of my great theories that I happen to think is correct. You know, I have never found that projection will let a person down. So what do women project onto men? Women project onto men that they are emotionally strong and, okay, that
yes.
whole thing. What do men project onto women? That they are emotional wrecks, that they're
yes.
emotionally hysterical, da-da-da-da-da.
Issues.
I, on occasion, when people are open to it, point out that those are projections.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So people who live out in the other world project that the monastery is grim and joyless and a life of deprivation and horror, right?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to suggest that that projection comes from egocentric karmic conditioning.
Yes, who's terrified of the monastery.
Pardon me?
Who's terrified of the monastery.
Oh, yes, and really wants to be convinced and have everybody convinced that the spiritual life is a life that is too horrible to endure. And that, yes, in fact, a life living with egocentric karmic conditioning is just full of joy and fun and fulfillment.
So, again and yet again. When it, which is actually, I don't know if you remember, but the I called 2 weeks ago about the movie The Secret.
Yes.
And I've watched it, and I'm calling back.
And what did you think?
Well, quite a few observations from it. Did you get a chance to see it?
I did. I did my homework. I watched it last night, and I'll tell you, I felt like a good citizen.
I did, too. Yeah, there was quite a rush from it.
Mine was I felt like a good citizen for keeping my commitment.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you get the bonus points.
Yes.
Free ticket to heaven.
Well, not exactly that. I just felt like a good citizen because it took a fair amount of willingness.
Ah. Okay.
So,
it seems that it kind of took a piece of the puzzle and made it the whole puzzle.
Well, you know, the first of all, the willingness was to get through the first, 15 minutes, half an hour, where, you know, the Da Vinci Code meets.
I think my version didn't have that.
Oh, you didn't get the going back through history and the conspiracy and to keep it a secret, and you didn't get that?
No, not at all.
There
not
are
at all.
Versions of this thing?
I saw it on mysecrettv.com, something on that order.
Mine was a DVD, and it started out with this whole trip through history and being convinced that there's this Da Vinci Code-esque conspiracy of certain people to keep this information away from other people. If I had not made the commitment, I don't think I would have made it through the introduction.
Once we got into it, I
thought that there were some very good points made.
It reminded me of the morning recollection, the daily recollection.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like, you know, one of the encouragements of the monastery is kind of to start out the day with meditation and the daily recollection.
Uh-huh.
And kind of like just noticing, like, that does what the movie talks about as far as, like, setting the course of the day.
Uh-huh.
Stating your intentions.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, there's nothing about that thing that is secret.
Right.
Nothing. Absolutely zero, zip, zilch.
Well, I did learn a
and they things. Even make the point themselves as, you know, they go from this huge conspiracy of these powerful white men, it looked like in my version, to keep this hidden from all us poor little peons. Then they make the point that every religious teacher, every spiritual teacher throughout time,
yes,
as well as a great number of just flat-out smart people have said all of these things over and over and over and over and over, and in fact are teaching it today.
Yes.
Yeah, but if...
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what the Nothing Wrong With Your Retreat is all about.
Exactly.
I mean...
But you notice that it's much more popular when it's called a secret.
And yeah, it did get people's attention.
Yeah, and when you can look through a window at a necklace, and then some guy will come along and give it to you. That's you know, that's way more popular than, yeah, if you pay attention and learn how to direct your attention and you sit still and you practice coming back to the breath and you see how things work, your life will transform. That's never going to get the buzz.
It did for me, but, you know, it's kind of, I mean, I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with you when I took it. What, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, it changed my life.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Because it changed the focus of what I was doing. And it also gave me the opportunity with the tapes of retraining my mind or my emotions.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So the one thing that kind of concerned me about the film was when they went into the good feelings and the bad feelings.
It just kind of gives you a queasy feeling, doesn't it?
It does. Well, because I've gained so much from facing my, accepting,
yeah,
and kind of like, you know, this is what's up.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, you know, and I do notice that, you know, I recently went through several what I call the funk. And I could kind of look back and see that it was like the funk was generating the funk.
Yes. Yeah, so somebody just showed me a cartoon that they're going to start putting out with the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreats. And it's these two little characters, and one of them is saying to the other one, you know, I've been thinking so much about the past and how difficult and painful it was, and it's just, I feel so upset, and I've been thinking about the future and how scary it is and how much could go wrong, and I've been thinking about all the problems in the world, and it's just depressing and upsetting. He goes on like this, and he says, do you have any advice for me? And the other one says, yes, stop thinking.
Yes.
So in that sense, you know, all of that information most of the information that they were offering is valid. You know, if you focus all of your attention on what's wrong, and what you don't have, then that's going to set up your life to go in that direction.
Yes, and it has.
It's not a secret. It's just pretty obvious that what you...
Well, when I was in it, though, I was really believing it.
Oh, sure, sure. But the thing about it is, and, you know, I hope it does catch some people's attention and causes them to question those kinds of systems that they're in. But the idea that you're simply going to now do something different so that you can have a different life experience, I'm afraid is just going to be a very sad setup for disappointment. And worse than that, convincing people that there really is something wrong with them and that,
yes,
that they really are doing something wrong, and that's why their life isn't working.
And all I have to do is think positive thoughts.
All I have to do is think positive thoughts.
Yeah, and there is, I mean, there is an element of truth in that, but it can easily be used by self-hate.
That's right.
To turn it into, because, you know, it's like I went through an emotional high, and then this morning I went through a bit of a valley.
Uh-huh.
And there was the thought of, oh, no, now it's going to get bigger. And, you know, it's like, and it wasn't okay to stay in that space that was up.
Yeah.
So I had to resist it, and there was something wrong with feeling bad.
Right. Instead of just going to a place of, wow, this is interesting, and here's the next thing for me to practice accepting.
Yes.
Which basically they were saying in that film.
Yes.
You know, they were, that is the place that they were getting to. So I just hope that that's what people get out of it. Not, and even the thing about the guy with the car. You know, it was such a good point that they made, that you don't sit around and visualize your new sports car and you're hating life and you're miserable because you don't have it. You know, you're living as if you already have the sports car. The point I wish they had made a little clearer is, and then you already have everything you want. The sports car is just kind of icing on the cake. You don't actually need it. It's not going to give you anything. And I just hope people get that out of it, because otherwise it'll turn into, for a lot of folks, you know, if I just kind of hold my mouth right, then I can have everything I want. And
all I have to do is tape a dollar to the ceiling above my bed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, on the other hand, you know, it's kind of like being aware of the abundance that's available and being open to it and practicing the gratitude. I kind of like that.
Yes, that part I thought was really marvelous. And the money part of it, again, you know, if people will kind of see it for what I think is being pointed at rather than perhaps what it appears to be, the money thing is a great... it's measurable, you know.
It's measurable.
So if you want to know if changing your orientation to life, if you know I'm grateful for everything I have, is that really an opening to having more? Well, then if it's money, that's a measurable way to see if something has changed in your life. So in that sense, I could see why they would focus on it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. It's kind of like Nothing Wrong With You is for people new to practice. The movie's geared toward people that are kind of new to practice.
Right. And if you want to see if changing your attitude changes your life, well, focus on something concrete, something measurable.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want a new So,
yeah.
You know, can I have a different attitude toward life and have that appear in my life? Well, that would be interesting to see. Rather than, you know, I'm going to focus on, say, accepting all of my feelings and see if I'm happier. Well, that's a little subjective. You know, well, yeah, I think I'm happier, but I'm not really sure. Well, I just
right.
made $1 million this year. Okay, well, that's different from last year when I made $8,000.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So I can see the point of making it of playing the game on a material plane.
Right, but also when you kind of come to that place of stillness, then you don't need anything.
Right,
you can have
anything, but it's not. That's not the point of it.
Which is one of the things you said, that people are only using 5% of their potential.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking that, you know, that's one of the reasons why I dig the monks so much.
Uh-huh.
So I think they've increased the amount of potential that they're actually using.
Oh, yes.
That we all have available. It's just through the years of practice.
Yes.
Our potential becomes more available.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, I hope, the whole point of what they're saying. It's to move into that place of greater awareness of connection, not getting more stuff.
Like what your comment is, like if it were like today, you'd be happy all the time.
Yes.
Kind of like it becomes where your happiness isn't determined by what's going on around you.
That's right. So I hope people do understand that I say those things tongue in cheek, with as a little
yes,
awareness
I laughed
practice
at that.
Joke.
I had a good chuckle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I found it worth watching.
Yeah.
Not that a judgment needs to be made, but it's kind of, I made my intentions and have taped them around my house.
You made your what?
I made my list of things that I want to open up to.
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting because I started with money is abundant and flows freely toward me, and it changed to life is abundant and flows freely toward me.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of all by itself.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And, of course, that's big, isn't it? Because there are no restrictions on that.
And that's really scary, yes.
Yes, it is. And, of course, the thing is, life is always flowing abundantly toward us, isn't it?
Yes.
And
yes,
we tend to be standing there in the doorway going, no, 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 no.
I want that and only that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and right. I've taken down a couple of my intentions, too, just because I realized I don't really want them.
Uh-huh. All right, well, it'd be interesting to see if anybody else took up the assignment.
Thank you, Sherry.
If there are any other secret watchers out there, maybe they'll give us a call and give us their take on it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Beth.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks, Beth, you're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome George from Pennsylvania. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Good evening, Sherry.
Pennsylvania is well represented so far tonight.
Yes. Well, we always do well.
That vortex of spirituality.
Yeah. Well, this is the other side. This is the east side of Pennsylvania. It's a long state.
It is. I've driven across it a few times.
Yeah.
Well, what's going on in your part of Pennsylvania?
Well, I had a couple of comments. First of all, one is so this movie, The Secret, it's out on DVD, so you can rent it.
Yeah, I mean, I just watched a DVD. I don't know where it came from, but...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll definitely have to do it. It sounds like it's worth watching and then commenting on.
Right, worth having an opinion about.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to say was when you were talking about Jaramara and the west coast of Mexico, I think I've spent some of my happiest days on the west coast of Mexico. It's just amazing.
It's a marvelous part of the world, isn't it?
It's just, yeah, really, really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's going on? Last time we talked, which was, I think, several weeks ago, so I wanted to get updated. I was talking about that I was in this painful dualistic internal discussion about whether or not to leave my current job.
Uh-huh.
And you suggested that I pull up a chair and sit there, rather than, you know, put down the racket, batting the ball back and forth, and sit down and watch the game, watch the two sides, you know, batting the ball back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically,
should I, shouldn't I? Should I, shouldn't I?
Right. So I've been playing with seeing it from that perspective. And what I see is, what I think I see is, what came up for me was a few different sub-personalities who are all trying to get their needs fulfilled.
Uh-huh.
So, and actually, since I talked to you in regard to the job, I woke up one day and started to get ready to go to work, and I was so physically and mentally hurting at that point about going to work that I said, you know, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. I'm not going. I called up my supervisor and I said, I just have to step back from this for a while. I don't know whether I can continue or not, but I have to step back. And he recommended that a leave of absence or medical leave of absence or whatever might do, and that's where I'm at this point. I'm actually in a medical leave of absence and with short-term disability. These things are... I've never been in such a situation before, so it's all entirely new to me. But anyway, as I'm watching this back and forth, I see one subpersonality who's kind of the manly hero who is horrified at the mere suggestion that there might be something that I might not be able to go to work because I'm depressed or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and is very angry and hostile toward the whole system that's even set up, but that is really upset that I need to get it together, to buck up, and no matter how painful it may be, go back to work at any cost, and to avoid the shame of not going to work.
Uh huh.
So that's one. That's definitely one.
Now, of course, I'm guessing from the way you're describing it that he doesn't actually go to work.
Well, yeah, it could be seen that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
That's dollars to donuts. That's exactly the way it is. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Mr. Because Manly Buckup says...
If it was the manly hero at work, there'd be no problem.
Yeah, you need to go to work. I'm gonna be right here behind you,
right,
gouging you in the ribs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he's such a big, studly dude.
Yeah.
Send him to work.
Right. Then there's another...
It doesn't work that way, unfortunately, but...
No. There's another sub-personality, which I would call probably the frightened child, who wants to be protected and sheltered at any cost and feels relieved that, at least for right now, his terrible pain is recognized and he's being helped and protected. You know, he's out on medical leave of absence. He's getting disability, you know, all of that.
He doesn't have to go do it.
He doesn't have to go. He doesn't have to do it. He's being protected. And he just wants that to go on.
Now, how is he being protected?
Well, he's being protected by being allowed not to go to work, but not losing his job, so that if he decides to go back to work, he can do that within a certain time frame.
Yeah, you see, this is so interesting because, of course, he's not going to work either.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Get the feeling we've got a missing person here.
Well, there's... Well, let me go through a couple more here that I see. There's another personality, and this personality is more adventurous, who's ready for something new, new lifestyle, new place, new kind of escapist too.
Mm-hmm.
But he and his wife are looking at these 55 plus communities with all sorts of amenities like swimming pools, nearby beaches, community organizations, activities, and so on, and kind of interested in saying, you know, hey, I'm 64 years old. I've been working with these kids for this long. You know, hey, I deserve to go and take it easy. And of course, the frightened child is there too, saying, "Yes, yes, let's go, let's go, let's go." And then there's another part that just sees this whole thing as a very good opportunity to practice unconditional acceptance of all of it, all these characters, and all the questions without answers, all the unknowing, all the indecision, all the confusion, all the whatever, and just kind of live it out.
Which you pretty much have to do regardless.
Regardless, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But what happens, of course, I get identified with these different personalities, and
that's right. If you were to simply stay in awareness of mm-hmm. all of them, then we're guessing you would draw upon somebody who likes to go to work,
mm-hmm.
who just sees it as something to do, and it's interesting, and mm-hmm. he goes until he doesn't go anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But instead, as you say, we tend to get identified with these karmic orientations to life,
mm-hmm.
and then we play one out for a while and suffer over that, and then play another one out for a while and suffer over that. Just go back and forth to the two sides of the duality so that suffering is constant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well...
Yeah.
It's all interesting to see, isn't it?
It's all interesting to see.
Uh-huh. Good. All right, well, keep us posted.
All right.
Thanks, George.
Thanks, Sherry.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, George. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to take a quick break now, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, in the second half of today's show, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, I enjoyed that little advertisement there at the end.
Yes, for Harriet?
Yes.
Wasn't that wonderful?
First time I'd heard that.
Yeah, that was very fun.
Yeah.
What a gal, huh?
Yeah.
And lived to 1913 and died at 93, is that what it said?
I can't remember the details.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing. What a life. My goodness gracious.
Yes. And we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Bay Ruse, calling from Sweden. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
From Sweden?
From Sweden. Hello, Sherry.
Goodness gracious. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. What I wanted to talk about was I've been practicing meditation for just over 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And every time I sit to meditate or I do walking meditation, I experience this enormous unpleasant sensations in my body, which is, you know, pressure on the shoulders, pressure on the chest, the pain in the face. Yeah, you say it. Of course, the problem is that my conditioning uses this against me and tries to convince me that this is because I can't do it, I can't make it, I'm not good enough, and there's something wrong with me.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, well, that was it in a nutshell.
Okay, so now let me, just to make sure I'm understanding you.
Yeah.
So the primary experience is one of pressure.
Pressure and tenseness. Sometimes it's almost like twisted metal, you know, it's like, yeah, right, pressure and tenseness and really pain. For instance, in the face, I experience pain.
Okay, so in the rest of your body, it's mostly tension, but
it's
in
tension,
your face,
yeah,
it actually feels painful.
Mm,
is that
right.
True?
What did you say?
In the rest of your body, you experience it mostly as tension.
Right.
But in your face, it's actually painful.
It's painful, but it could be because it's so much tension. It's almost like, you know, almost like when you're angry, how the face feels?
Yes.
Tight and, right, right. It feels like that.
Okay. So, you sit down and you're obviously willing because you've been doing this for 7 years in spite
I've been doing it for 7 years.
Yeah. And with probably some sort of hope or expectation that it's going to get better over time.
Right.
Okay. So here is my best encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody is suffering mightily.
Excuse me, could you repeat that?
Someone
yeah.
is suffering mightily.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so that is who you are sitting with and for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I'm going to say, and I bet you will agree with me, that the only way his suffering is going to end is for someone to face with him what he's going through.
Right.
And to accept it.
Right. Right.
And so that's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Instead of you, willing person,
yeah.
sit down and then this, I would say, karmic situation arises.
Mm-hmm.
And conditioned mind says, see, there's something wrong with you. You can't do this.
Right.
You go into it saying, I understand that there's a great deal of suffering karma here.
Mm-hmm.
And I am willing to sit still with this for as long as it takes until this person is free.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay? And so... In that way, I mean, conditioning will just try whatever it tries next. But it can't say to you, see, there's something wrong. Because you know there's something wrong. Someone is suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? It's not that there's something wrong with you. It's that life produces this kind of suffering in us
yes.
when we don't know how to be present. So I'm going to suggest that this really has nothing to do with you.
Mm.
This karma actually has nothing to do with you specifically.
Right.
Okay? But
yeah.
you are receiving it. It's here. It's in your life. And you're willing to be the one who faces it, who takes it on, and resolves it.
Okay.
And so you sit with that, and you make a conscious statement to yourself when you sit down that I am doing this out of willingness to be with this suffering until there is freedom.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Sounds good. I can just tell you that it has naturally become better over the years.
What? Would you say that again?
It's become better. It's not as bad as it was in the beginning.
Yes.
So the tensions have become much less, and I struggle much less. And that's a blessing, really.
Yes, yes. And I think with this conscious statement of your commitment, that the relationship is going to become so much clearer that
right.
I think the struggle will diminish dramatically.
Okay.
Because conditioning can no longer hold this against you.
Right, I know.
Yeah, and that's where we struggle. When we're going along and we're trying to do something, and conditioning can say, see, you weren't that aware. You can't do this. This
right.
is bigger than you. This is proof that there's something. Then it's a double whammy. You know, I'm trying to deal with the karma, and then I'm getting just pummeled by conditioning telling me I can't do it.
Right.
So when I can step free of that and say, hey, you know, I'm taking this on because somebody needs to do it, you've really moved into kind of a heroic position.
Mm.
So you're the one who's going to show up and do this. Nobody else is willing to. Nobody else has wanted to. Nobody else has been able or willing to kind of walk into the burning building to save this person. And you're going to do that. So is it hot in there? Is it uncomfortable? Is it scary sometimes? Yes, it is. That's true. And you're the one who's willing to do it.
But that's a very kind way to look at it, I think.
And it's a true way to look
way
at
to see it.
It's also true, which is even better.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So will you try it and let us know?
Oh, yeah, of course I'll try it.
Oh, good. And you'll let us know how it goes?
I'll let you know, but I don't think it'll be tomorrow. I mean, it's going to take some time.
It might take a little time, but you can keep us posted on your progress.
I'll do that, Sherry. And
all
thank
right.
you very much for everything you do, your work, your programs, your books. They have been great, great help to me, really.
At times,
it's been the only light in the darkness in my life.
Oh, thank
but
you.
This has really, sometimes it caused such depression. Now it's much better, but it's been very, very difficult for me.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, really.
So
and thank you, Michael, for this show.
You're welcome.
Keep reminding yourself.
Right.
Keep reminding yourself that this is a heroic effort that you are making.
I'll do that. And I'll listen, I'll listen to this program, this part of the program, recording a few times, too.
Very good. Very good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beirut. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Grigsby from Virginia. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening, Grigsby. How are you?
Hey, Sherry. That last call was very moving for me because it reminds me of how difficult this is and how much we need each other.
Oh, Sangha.
Yeah,
It's the whole deal.
Right.
It's, you know, the greatest, one of the greatest tools that conditioning has to use against us is getting us alone.
Yeah.
Convincing us that there's something so wrong with us or we're so flawed, so hopeless that we can't let anybody else know what's going on. And as soon as it convinces us of that, as soon as it tells us we can't speak up and we can't reach out, it's just hell.
Yeah, well, that's exactly where I have been a lot of my life.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I've been able to make a few positive steps recently, but conditioning doesn't give up easily.
Oh, it does not give up easily.
Yeah. I've really been wanting to change my circumstance, and I've really been studying how to do that, and I've taken a few good steps towards finding a new kind of work. I don't need to go into the contents a lot, but it involves learning to teach English to speakers of other languages. And it would allow me to live in some other countries, which really does interest me. So I've gone through a program, and that really, you know, that took an effort, but it worked out fine. And I'm at a place where my conditioning just tells me I'm going to be really alone. I'm not going to enjoy it. I can't go through all the effort, the further effort to make the move. And so I am alone, more or less, and I just feel the need for support. So I'm calling in.
Well, now have you pointed out to conditioning that if you get somewhere and you don't like it, you can go somewhere else?
Well, I sometimes say that to myself.
Because I've noticed that. Those airplanes, they'll take you someplace and they'll actually bring you back.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and that's the kind of point conditioning just doesn't like us to remember.
Right.
Yeah, you can do something, and if you change your mind, you can do something else.
Yep. Yeah.
And you will have had the experience that you have.
Yeah. You know, I think the difference, I keep wanting myself to realize this is going to be different because I'm able to be with myself in a way that in the past I couldn't be.
Yes. And I would suggest, increasingly, you're able to be with other people in a way that you haven't been in the past.
Yeah, that's true. And also, that is something that I have to really come to, I think, experience more and more.
Yes, yes, which is an argument for getting out of the familiar.
Yeah.
It's like going on a big retreat. You know, you go, and you have no idea what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You just go and put yourself in the circumstances in order to see what happens.
Yeah.
And in that process, all kinds of magic happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that idea, and I've heard it before. I don't truly believe it, but hearing you say it helps me believe it somewhat more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, my favorite thing to point out to people is that we'll be dead really soon and we'll be dead for a really long time. So if there's anything you want to do, now's the time.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we saving it for God's sake?
Well, you're right. I mean, that's irrefutable.
Oh, it is. You want to live in other cultures. Okay. Well, you can't do that here.
Yep.
So, you know, you may go, and after a year, 2 years, 3 years, you say, well, that was great. You know, I learned a lot. I saw a lot. And, you know, I feel complete with that. So now what would I like to do? And the next thing will open up to you. The people who I see suffering the most are the people who are in relationship with conditioning, and conditioning is calling all the shots.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, you want to do this, but you can't do that. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. You're not young enough. You're not rich enough. You're not whatever. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. And you can just watch the world get smaller and smaller and them more depressed and miserable. And for what? You know, it's just so not true.
Yeah. I
mean, especially for people like us. Especially for anybody listening to this radio show.
Yeah.
You know, there isn't anybody listening to this radio show who doesn't have the ability to do anything they want to do.
Well, that's
anything that occurs to them to do, they have the wherewithal to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just true.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are people who are saying, oh, well, yeah, but I don't have the money. You know, I'm so in debt. What would I do? I have a mortgage payment. I have kids. And that's that attitude of mind that is so believable when we're hearing those voices of conditioning, that's the thing that will keep us stuck until we die.
Yeah.
And we'll probably die earlier than we would have needed to.
Well, I love what you're saying. And I've been one of those people who has surely been believing those voices and has suffered in the way you've just described.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just, I don't know if we've talked about this, but I'll have to Google this guy because I think he's fairly well known. But he was the first person that I ever heard of who made a list of everything he wanted to do in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And there were like over 100 things on his list. And then he just systematically set about accomplishing them.
Mm-hmm.
And did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've tried to do things in the past, and I didn't have the ability to really be with myself.
Right.
And I fell on my face. And so...
Well,
but now
conditioning. Conditioning would tell you you fell on your face.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was painful.
It is painful.
Yeah.
It is painful. And most of the things that, most of the hard lessons we've had in life have been painful.
Mm-hmm.
But to learn from that, that we shouldn't try anything, to me, is just too sad.
Yeah.
So what I would say, what you learn from that is, you needed to learn how to be with yourself.
Yeah.
And you're learning that. To a large extent, you have learned that.
Yeah.
That changes everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for your words.
Well, I'm just eager to hear where your first assignment is going to be.
Okay. Well, I'll let you know. It's going to be a few months before I can make the move, but I've got some movement going.
Good. Good. And it's exciting, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate the help I've gotten from you and the program and so on.
All right. Well, that's why we're here.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Grigsby. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have about 2 minutes left.
Is that
about 2 minutes? About 2 minutes.
My goodness gracious, time flies.
Time's flying. And I have a short email question here.
All right.
Sherry, you talk about subpersonalities a lot, and I've come to see some of my own. I realize it is a way of talking about different aspects of yourself and the voices of self-hate. What I'm curious about is, being a Zen teacher, is this something that comes out of Zen? If not, how did you come to use this method of explaining our different personality aspects? Thanks. From a listener in California.
Now, I am not, as anybody who knows me very well at all knows, I'm not a big expert on Zen or on Buddhism or on any other thing. there may be people who are listening who will call in and give us better information, but the oldest reference that I know of to this was Wei Ning, who was known as the sixth patriarch. And he would refer to subpersonalities. Now, of course, he didn't call them subpersonalities, but he called them things like the committee, that indicating a lot of different people sharing the same body.
Yeah.
So yes, it's very much a part of Buddhism, and in a lot of different forms. You know, I personally have a little theory that a lot of subpersonality stuff, what we experience as subpersonality, is past life.
Yeah, say that again?
It's karmic stuff. It's past life stuff.
I see.
And that's just a little personal theory. But I think when people look at it, they begin to suspect the same thing. A person who has a tremendous fear of drowning. Is just terrified of water, or a person who, the previous caller, not Grigsby, but the fellow before that, talking about what happens, sitting down in meditation and what happens to the body, And to me, that is an aspect of the personality, and it's karmic.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I think there's nothing actually that isn't a part of Buddhism. And I was talking to folks on this retreat in Mexico about that thing of, you know, if you want to know about something, say you want to know about, what might you want to know about? I don't know, something in some theory in mathematics.
Yes.
And you can either study and read and research and learn and that sort of thing, or you can go to the place where the person went who saw whatever it was in the first place.
Yes.
Yeah? And everything is the same thing. You know, when we talk about it all being one, it's literal. It's actual. It's that's a true statement. It's not like everything is so interrelated or so connected or no, it's one. And so anybody who is looking at how things work is going to come to the same thing. So it doesn't matter whether it was Wei Ning back in the God knows what century, or it was the Buddha, or it's somebody sitting down in meditation today. When we look deeply, we're going to see the same thing. How we talk about it is going to be different based on who we are and our culture and the time and that sort of thing. But what we experience is going to be of the same essence.
Wow.
So,
Sherry?
I hear the music, Michael.
I hear the music.
They're calling us.
Well, let's do it again next week.
Let's do.
Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.